Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Daya bihitam akarnya. Kamsak paramamit. Kamsak paramavismita.
Kamsak paramavismita.
Devakim vasudevam cha.
Devakim vasudevam cha.
Vimuchya prashvito bravit.
Vimuchya prashvito bravit.
Taya bihitam akarnya.
Taya bihitam akarnya.
Kamsa paramavismita.
Kamsa paramavismita.
Devakim vasudevam cha.
Devakim vasudevam cha.
Vimuchya prashvito bravit.
Vimuchya prashvito bravit.
By the goddess Durga. Obhitam. The words spoken. Akarnya. By hearing. Kamsa.
Kamsa.
Paramavismita. Was struck with wonder. Devaki.
Unto Devaki.
Vasudevam cha.
Vasudevam cha.
And Vasudeva.
Vimuchya,
releasing immediately. Prashritaha, with great humility.
Abravit,
spoke as follows. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. After hearing the words of the goddess Durga, Kamsa was struck with wonder. Thus he approached his sister Devaki and brother-in-law Vasudev, released them immediately from their shackles, and very humbly spoke as follows. Purport. Kamsa was astonished because the goddess Durga had become the daughter of Devaki. Since Devaki was a human being, how could the goddess Durga become her daughter? This is one cause of his astonishment. Also, how is it that the eighth child of Devaki was a female? This also astonished him. Asuras are generally devotees of Mother Durga, Shakti or the demigods, especially Lord Shiva. The appearance of Durga in her original eight-armed feature, holding various weapons, immediately changed Kamsa's mind about Devaki being an ordinary human. Devaki must have had some transcendental qualities. Otherwise, why would the goddess Durga have taken birth from her womb? Under the circumstances, Kamsa, struck by wonder, wanted to compensate for his atrocities against his sister Devaki. Parama vismitaha, struck with wonder. But this is not transcendental wonder, this is material confusion. He's a demon, and because of his demoniac spirit, he cannot relish. In his present condition, although he'll get his liberation, he'll go back to his Vaikuntha position. But for now, he's infected with the demoniac spirit. He cannot taste the rasas of devotional service. His relationship with Krishna is not devoted. He's not a devotee like the others in his present consciousness. Although he's there, he's not participating, he's missing out on the rasa. It's like someone who doesn't know the language may be hearing the conversation but doesn't know what they're talking about. Moga sha, moga karamano, moga gana vichetasa. Rakshasim, asurim chaiva, prakriti mohinim shvita. These are the people who have taken shelter of the asuri prakriti, demoniac nature of the Lord. This is the ugly face of Durga. Demoniac material energy. Material energy is being qualified by Krishna as demoniac, asuri. It turns people into enemies of God. Of course, Durga herself is a faithful servant, but her service is to take us and turn us into enemies of God. Asuri, no, she's not an asura, but her potency is asuri. She makes others into asuras. Demons, opponents of God and his devotees. Worse than being opponents of God is being opponents of his devotees. And those are the asuras. And Maya turns us all into asuras. Mohini, bewildering, causes confusion. Here's the confusion of Kamsa. What is going on? He's confused. He's astonished. How can his worshipable deity Durga have become the daughter of the enemies who threatened to bear the son who's going to kill him? He was worried about a boy being born, number 8, supposed to kill him. That's the prediction. And a girl comes, and it happens to be his worshipable deity. That is, how more bewildering can you get? You know, the mother who's supposed to protect him appears in the place of the one who's supposed to kill him. And she threatens him. You fool. Don't you know the one who's going to kill you is already born somewhere else? So, Kamsa has reason to be totally confused. And it's a girl. There's supposed to be a boy. That's number 8. But that is what happens to the demons. This is the result of taking shelter, ashrita, of the asuri mohini, material nature. The demoniac, bewildering material nature does this to you. You become mogasha. Your ambitions are all frustrated. Kamsa had his ambition to rule the world, to defeat all enemies, to be so powerful that no one could oppose him. He wasn't the biggest. He was a subordinate friend of Jarasandha, the emperor stationed in Magadha. Mathura is just a side kingdom, sure the same. But still, he may have some friends who are more powerful than him, but he doesn't have any enemies who can defeat him. Kamsa. That was his ambition, unopposed rule. And to enjoy the way he wants to enjoy in his demoniac spirit. And that's his asha, but it's now frustrated. His own worshipable deity, Durga, is not going to allow him to have his ambitions fulfilled. She does that. You know, she very often destroys the very demons who worship her. You know, they may be worshiping her, decorating her murti with a garland of skulls. They don't realize their own skull is on that necklace. You know, they're one of those skulls on that necklace. So, mogasha. Moga karma, no, all their endeavors, karma, have to be frustrated. Let Kamsa do whatever he wants. He can kill all the children and put his own father in jail, which he will, and terrorize the citizens, tell his friends to go disrupt all the Brahmins in their sacrifices, kill the cows, kill the Brahmins. He can engage in all sorts of abominable activities, and they'll all be frustrated. Because he's a demon. No matter what harm he tries to do, he will be defeated, ultimately. Moggagyana, bewildered. Vichetasaha, reduced to a degraded consciousness. This is what happens not just to the great demons, but to everyone who takes shelter. We may not recognize ourselves, or we may not present ourselves in such a ferocious way that anybody would think us a demon. We're just nothing important. Just like very often, persons who do end up committing atrocious crimes, killing many other people, you know, walking into a schoolyard and starting to shoot all the children. And then his mother and his friends say, "I don't know, this boy was so peaceful, you know, such a nice boy. I don't know how he could do such a thing." And nobody thought that this is a demon. So we may not advertise ourselves or present ourselves in such a way that anybody would think that we're demoniac. We may be very mild-mannered demons until our time comes to do something atrocious. But this is the effect even of a small person, you know, a nobody, taking shelter of this material nature, is that you're going to be frustrated. Either you're going to suffer a grand frustration like these big demons, or your life will end up in frustration and nobody will ever know about it. You know, it doesn't merit even one line in the newspaper that so-and-so, who slaved for decades to raise his family, came down with hepatitis and died miserably, you know, in the hospital. It happens to so many people. It doesn't merit even one line in the newspaper. Now, everybody's getting frustrated by the power of the material energy in so many horrible ways. If we simply looked at the facts, if we simply looked at our own lives, and were honest and realistic, then we would see that this is demoniac nature. To just be living as a law-abiding citizen of the material existence is abominable. It's demoniac. It's completely opposed to all the principles of devotion to the Supreme Lord. So Kamsa's odd man out. He's there in Krishna's abode. But he and his other demoniac friends don't fit. They're not relishing. These demons do not relish the pleasure of reciprocation with Krishna, of relationship with Krishna, of love and attraction for Krishna. Attraction they have, but it's hateful attraction. And it's incomplete. If they became actually fully attracted to Krishna, that their hate would dissolve. So even their attraction for Krishna is relatively very weak compared to anything else there in the holy dham. Demons are allowed. This is the special nature of maybe one difference between Gokula and Goloka. The spiritual world is non-different, even when it appears on the material realm, it doesn't change. But one thing that does, one different rule, is that the non-devotees are allowed to enter. Every day, twice a day, the Taj Express, not to speak of Taj Express, you know, hundreds of trains every day are passing through the holy dham between Delhi and Agra. You know, I don't know how many trains every day, dozens. You can sit there at the Chatikar, rail crossing for half an hour and have to watch 7-8 trains go by one after another. And that's just in a half an hour. And there's so many people on those trains who have no adhikar to be in the holy dham, but they're in. They're allowed entrance because their feet are not touching the ground while sitting on the train. But they're in the holy dham. If they want to, they can step out at the Mathura train station, go get a cup of tea and jump back on the train. Or they can stay in Mathura. You know. Nobody's stopping them. As long as they paid for their ticket. they can enter the Holy Dham. For 80 rupees, I think it is now. You can take a bus from Delhi anytime you want. Every 15 minutes there's a bus going to Mathura. Anybody can come. And they do. You know, hordes of people, many of whom don't have any really serious interest in changing their lives to suit Krishna's taste. They're ready to go, very eager to go on with their materialistic life to the end of life. But they come to Vrindavan, you know, do a little bit of puja and darshan and have a good time and go home. That's allowed. It's not allowed in the spiritual world. Materialists and demons cannot enter Krishna's abode. There are guards at the gates with sharp lances to keep everybody out who doesn't belong there. But there is no such guard post surrounding the Holy Dham on the earth. You can hardly tell where it is. You cross the border somewhere on the outskirts of Hodal. You know, out in Haryana, northern direction extends the Holy Dham, Vraja Dham extends that far. Can you tell the difference, actually? You know, between one side of the line and the other? Between the material world and the spiritual world? With your eyes, can you see? Do you even know exactly where it is? So, it seems like the material energy, the material people and the material energy are allowed in. Superficially, the material things are allowed in. They build roads, they build houses, and ugly piles of bricks and garbage are sitting there. On top of the Dham. And all sorts of people are allowed in. That's the nature of the Holy Dham when it's reflected in the material world. The demons are allowed entrance. Everybody's allowed in. There's no passport check at the border. There's no visible border. When you cross, driving a commercial vehicle over the border of Uttar Pradesh into Haryana, then you have to stop your truck and get inspected and pay your tax. But the border of the Holy Dham is not marked. And anybody can go in or out very easily. So it's not amazing that Kamsa is there, and he's not the only demon in town. He's surrounded by other demons in Mathura city. They don't venture out of the city much, unless they've been sent by Krishna to go try to kill Krishna, by Kamsa to go try to kill Krishna and Balaram. It's the only time that these demon friends of Kamsa will step foot out of the city into the countryside. And every time one of them does, he doesn't come back alive. There is that story of Kamsa coming to Vraja and what is the story? Where is it from? Okay. What is it? The Parakame from Vrindavan, Parakame turns to Govardhan along the Yamuna. Toward Mathura. Yes. And Kamsa came up to that point. And they spent the day and after that? Okay, so after being engaged in making cow dung patties for several hours, he forgot his plan to kill Krishna with his own hands. So maybe, I don't know what Shastra is from. It's the only time it's recorded that Kamsa stepped foot outside the city in Vraja Dham. The other demons, they don't go back alive. But it's significant that they're in the Dham. But they have to be dealt with. They don't belong. Each one of them is killed in the end. They're allowed to stay for some time, But we don't want to just be allowed to stay for some time in the Holy Dham and then die in the Apollo Hospital. You know, we want eternal entrance into the Dham. This is the real thing. This Dham on the earth is non-different from the eternal Holy Dham. But real entrance is when you get your, you know, citizenship papers. Not when you're staying on a short visa. You can be kicked out at any minute until you get stamped, you know, by the home office that you're a permanent resident. Otherwise, although there is no official visible border and no border guards, actually Yogamaya was there to meet Kamsa at the border. And she didn't actually let him in. Right at the border, he was stopped. You know, put to work making cow dung patties, and he couldn't take it. And was sent back to Mathura. This is one of the functions of Yogamaya, who appeared now as Krishna's sister. Kamsa now has momentarily come to his senses. He's releasing Vasudeva and Devaki from their shackles. But it's sort of too late. The mere fact that he shackled them in the first place condemned him. He's already condemned. He can't save himself. And he can't change his nature. This is just, he's momentarily bewildered and forgets his plans. Forgets who he really, you know, who he thinks he is. And starts to act like a nice man, but he can't do it. He's still totally infected by the material demoniac nature, Asura Bhava. And all it will take is a few minutes sitting down with his advisors to forget or to go back, revert back to his demoniac nature. Like a person who swears, I'll never smoke again. And that vow lasts for 1 hour. You know, and an hour later he's got another pack of cigarettes. You know, all it takes is, you know, go to the nearest shop and pick up another pack of cigarettes. You know, okay, you very, you know, ostensibly made a big show of throwing your cigarettes in the garbage. You know, a whole pack of cigarettes that cost you, what does it cost nowadays? $2, you know, for a pack of cigarettes. But you just have to go to the store and buy another pack. You know, you haven't really cut yourself off. So when Kamsa is vowing, you know, I've done evil, please forgive me, now I'm letting you free. But his nature hasn't changed. He hasn't undergone any reformation. Not yet. The only thing that will reform him will is Krishna's dragging him down from his throne on the dais. And then dragging his dead body around the arena. The only thing that will reform Kamsa. That's coming. Okay, are there any questions or comments? Mind? Well, the mind is either our friend or our enemy, or, you know, or bad friend. Yeah, in general, we shouldn't be slaves to our minds. You know, we should use our intelligence. The intelligence should control the mind, and our intelligence should be controlled by spiritual authorities. I'm sorry? I'm sorry, what was coming? Well, she is. I mean, she's giving us lots of opportunities to give up this mental slavery. You know, don't be a slave to your mind. Come and be a slave of Krishna itself. Yogamaya is giving us so many Maya, in both her forms, she's giving us so many tests. And the tests themselves are opportunities to surrender. Constantly. In every situation. We can call it, you know, for a devotee, what do you call it? Is it the material energy that's causing the problems in your life? The encounters you have every day that make, you know, these things, people and things that make things difficult for you? What is it, material or spiritual? You can analyze it as material. And you can even say, I'm in Maya. But is it that, or is it, in the case of any devotee, opportunities to surrender? So it's really yoga maya coming with these problems. Here's an opportunity, here's a, you know, horrible situation, a nice opportunity to further surrender. If you see it like that, then it's yoga maya. It's spiritual nature giving you opportunity to further surrender. Yes? Yes. I don't know. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur doesn't say that.
He mentions not all of them.
Okay. How do you identify Kamsa as a
Kamsa represents atheism.
Atheism.
Yeah.
Okay. Why does he get killed last?
Hey,
it comes as atheism. I guess you can't get rid of atheism until you get rid of all the other demoniac mentalities. Atheism can only be wiped out when you clean out your heart first. We remain atheists. We're not really devoted to Krishna as long as we're materialistic. We may think we are, we may advertise ourselves as to everybody else, but it doesn't impress Krishna. You really want to be my devotee, then stop your nonsense. If you really want to be considered my devotee, first kill all these other demons, and then we'll talk about killing Kamsa.
Okay.
Yes.
Then we kill the Kamsa. So it's like when I think that if we also like in our heart developing Krishna to grow up like Krishna consciousness, that we can like kill Kamsa in our heart.
Yeah, by becoming mature in Krishna consciousness. I would guess that means attaining Nishtha. You know, to actually pin it down to something, you know, what it really is. We have to develop firm faith. We have to go beyond anartha nivritti. As long as we're still playing around with anarthas, with nonsense habits of thought and behavior, we cannot stop being materialistic atheists, actually. We can't really be devotees until we give up our nonsense activities and thought. That's Nishtha. We have to attain the stage of Nishtha. Then we can talk about being devoted to Krishna, having something that might develop into love.
I have another question. How to understand, like, sometimes, I don't know in which Shastra is mentioned, like, if someone is living in Holy Dham, that this is, like, his last life, or maybe next life he will attend. How is understood that, like, someone, if not maybe practicing or he has opportunity for this season. Sometimes for me it's difficult to believe that someone who is living in Holy Dham, like for him this is last life, like because in some other places it's given like mentioned in Shastra, like for the going like in the working down you should develop love.
Yes. Yes.
So,
the peculiar benefit of being in Mathura Dham is that you develop love of God. Love of God is a very special prerequisite. But you're given that prerequisite by being here. Other holy dhams, Benares and Hardwar and all the others, and Prayag, you can get liberation if you die or if you're born or you get initiation in those places or by staying there a long time. But Mathura is different than all the other holy dhams because there you get prema.
Just by dying.
Even just by being there. You know, just by sleeping on the ground, you know, to go, just camp out in the Mathura train station and sleep on the cement. Just by sleeping is equivalent to offering a pranams in all the holy places. Just take a nap in Mathura, and you get liberation. Everything else is achieved.
Yes.
I don't know how many count.
They can see something.
People are doing nonsense activities. Some of the residents are doing what we are supposed to consider sinful activities. I don't know if any cow killing going on in the dam. Usually, the people who are that bad, they have to take the cows outside to kill them. You know, steal the cows here and sell them somewhere outside. I don't know if any. I mean, you know, in Vrindavan, the bungies are killing pigs, you know, goats and pigs. But I don't know if they could get away with. I don't think yet it's gotten that bad. Even there's a McDonald's near the Mathura refinery, and now there's a Pizza Hut in Mathura. There are non-vegetarians, but I don't know if they're eating cow flesh in these places. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, but that's a popular opinion, right?
No, she said you have to be harmony. You have to be to perform good duty and do only the harmony to chant. Otherwise, you become a rajah and you not take it out of rajah.
Okay, but you're telling
that's
me.
One of the
whose opinion is that?
Local.
Okay, that's a local opinion.
But there's also the conversation between the Jananda and the
Jananda. Yes. Yes, okay, so that's substantiated. So you don't even get liberation unless you're behaving properly?
You actually are not considered being a resident of the Dharma unless you're engaged in active service. Mm-hmm. That's according to...
Okay. Okay. But the potency of the Dham is that it makes you attain attraction to Krishna, love for Krishna. And when you have love for Krishna, you're going to behave in a civilized way.
Can we tell that Kamsa was like Maturvasi?
No, that's still Mathura Dhamma.
Yeah.
You know, we shouldn't say that's Mathura is not the material world. Yeah. And maybe a different, you know, not as good as the rest of Vraja, but it's still the spiritual world.
Yeah.
Okay, then you have to be dharmic, but you got to be a real nonsense to stay here and not become dharmic. You're supposed to attain love of God. What are you doing with the love of God? You're just throwing it in the garbage and remaining a nonsense? Why? Yes, sir.
Just a shop on the side, and nobody was even monitoring what that person was doing. That person was just sleeping and fanning,
yes,
and singing Hare Krishna.
Yes.
It's like she's not being monitored by anyone, or she's not doing that. Person was not doing that because somebody's seeing her or anything. She doesn't even know that she's.
Yeah.
She was just there, and it's in a corner. Like nobody will even notice.
Yes.
Yes.
There's real attraction. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.